Good evening, it's Spooky Boo Roads in Sandcastle, California, with another scary tale from the Creepypasta Library. Tonight I have a story for you about ghosts and monsters. It's a really weird one, so get your favorite blanket and a nice glass of wine and listen. You can get a copy of my Tales of Sandcastle that I've written in paperback or Kindle format. Sandcastle Horror Volume 1 is available on Amazon and select bookstores. Find out more at www.sandcastlehorror.com. Now let's begin. It Comes, by Stephanie and regular show FTW Lily Anderson FTL. Please forgive the length of this message. This is possibly the last ever time I have to access a computer, so I thought I'd better write all this down while I can and get it to those who should know. I'm leaving town. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just getting as far away as I can. So as some of you may know, I opened up a shop a little over a year ago. It was doing decent, but not the way I wanted. But I'm not going to be ungrateful about it, and I've always been grateful to all of my customers who would come to me exclusively when God knows there are so many already established places in town. I've been doing well enough that I was able to hire on my buddy Lewis a few months ago, and he's been working hard and helping out really well, as I always knew he would. One night, I decided to have my buddy Lewis over at my house since my wife was out of town for the weekend. That's the day I think everything actually started, because when I got back from shopping, something seemed strange with Lewis. He had oil all over himself, even some of it was smeared across his face, as if he had tried to drink it or something. I told him to go home and clean himself up because we had no towels or anything to clean himself up with. He came back 45 minutes later, but he was still much quieter than usual. He worked as well as he ever did, but something just seemed off about him. I asked him if anything happened while I was out, and he just shook his head. I asked if something happened, and he nodded his head. And he just muttered something unintelligible. I asked him to repeat himself, and he turned and glared at me, and for the briefest moment, I could have sworn his eyes appeared to be completely black. No iris, no sclera, just utter all-consuming blackness. I stumbled back and bumped a shelf, knocking things down. When I looked back at him, he was still looking at me, but he didn't seem to be glaring hatefully the way he had been before. He just seemed kind of out of it. I assumed his car needed to be oiled and he just accidentally spilled it. So I asked if he had any trouble, and he simply shrugged. I had looked around the garage while he was gone, and I saw no traces of an oil spill. So whatever had happened must have gotten it all on himself, and none of it anywhere else, miraculously. But he seemed reluctant to talk about it, so I didn't press the issue, and we worked on throughout the day. That day and the next were relatively normal, other than him still being awkward and quiet. I asked him if he'd like to go out and get us lunch while I tended the shop, and he said sure. When he came back, I was busy doing paperwork, so he put the food up on the counter in the office to wait for me and went ahead and ate. I finished up with a customer. We'd have to keep her car overnight to figure out just why it kept dying on her, so I asked Neil to give her a ride home, and then I went to grab my food. He brought me some Chinese food and an iced tea, so I opened the soy sauce packets to pour some over my food when I noticed the strangest thing. It was as if the soy sauce was a living thing somehow, spreading out like dozens of squirmy, inky black maggots when it fell into the fried rice and burying itself inside. I took the fork and started to scoop out the rice to look deeper inside, and small smoky tendrils would rise from the rice occasionally and dissipate. I was incredibly hungry at that point, but I was way too creeped out to eat, so I chucked it and the iced tea into the garbage and decided I'd just wait till I got home that evening to eat something I'd prepared with my own hands. I'd never in my life seen anything remotely like that, and I couldn't even fathom how I would ask Lewis if he'd notice anything similar. As cold and distant as he had been lately, I'm sure he would look at me like I was some Looney Tunes, so I just shut up about it. That Friday we went down to the old watering hole, as we always do, to get some drinks and watch the local bands play, and Lewis was just as quiet as he was all week. He's not a bad-looking fellow, though, and despite him not really going out of his way to speak to anyone, a woman went over to where he was sitting and started talking to him, and they ended up leaving together that night. Monday morning I tried breaking the ice by asking him how his weekend went. He gave me a nod and muttered, "All right." I asked him if he had gotten lucky with that woman I saw him with, and he gave me the smallest grin, which was quite possibly the first grin I'd seen on his face in a week, and said it went well. I didn't pressure him for details. I knew he'd share if he chose to, and his small grin was enough to assuage my worries and lend me some hope that he might get back to his old self soon. The day was busy until about 3 p.m. I had a spare moment in the office to listen to the radio and have a cup of coffee. So there I was, chair with my feet propped up on my desk. When I looked in my drawer, I remembered I had a few Garfield, Tom and Jerry, and Looney Tunes comic books. I opened them up, but what I saw was bizarrely and creepily different. The Garfield, Looney Tunes, and Tom and Jerry comic panels seemed normal, but from the second, or whatever it went to, it had a blackish dark color, and the characters had long tentacles coming out of their body, along with black bleeding eyes, and in each of the comics said creepy things such as, "It comes." I sat shocked at the comics. Then the most horrific thing happened. The blood started flowing toward my finger, and the characters were looking directly at me. I threw myself away from the desk. I left the office and yelled for Lewis. I could not be the only one seeing this. To my surprise, he had gone, so I hesitantly walked back to the office and peered inside. The comics were still corrupted, but they no longer appeared to be moving. I crept over to it and reached out to pluck one of the comics free when I noticed the blood coming towards my finger again, only faster. I jerked my hand away. Nothing could possibly come from letting that blood touch my skin. Of course, I ripped the entire bulletin board down, burned it in a tin trash can out back, and never spoke of it again. That night I went home and my wife was already in bed, fast asleep. My mind was racing and I couldn't even bring myself to eat dinner that night. With no one to vent my worries to, I fell into a restless sleep and kept awakening to nightmare after nightmare, seemingly every hour of the night, until I just gave up on sleep entirely. That Friday I went to the bar again, even though my wife couldn't drink, being pregnant and all. And Neil wasn't really any fun to hang with anymore, and none of my other friends could seem to be reached. I just needed to get a good buzz and start feeling better, I reckoned. After downing a couple of beers, I excused myself to the restroom when I noticed I was more inebriated than I had estimated. So I leaned over the sink to splash some water on my face, and that's when I heard it, like a sheet of fabric being dragged across a floor. A voice rasped ever so quietly out of the drain. It sounded like a prolonged exhale for the longest time until I finally recognized words hidden amongst all those vowels. It comes. Cracks appeared in the porcelain, snaking out from the ring around the drain. At least they looked like cracks at first, but after a few seconds I recognized them as the same blood coming from the comics earlier that week. I slowly ran out of the bathroom and ran into someone's chest. I turned around and stared up into the pitch-black eyes of a 6.5-foot biker, with tattoos covering every piece of exposed skin except his hands and head. I stumbled quietly from him, and his evil, piercing gaze followed me as I retreated through the bar. It felt like a dream where, whenever you're running for your life, it feels like running through quicksand. As I walked across the room, I noticed the biker wasn't the only one staring at me. It seemed every pair of eyes in the place were focused on me, and more than half of those eyes appeared to be perfectly black, with no hint of iris or sclera. A few lips moved, and though I couldn't hear their voices over the sound of the jukebox, I could easily guess they were saying, "It comes." Whenever I went home, things only got scarier. When I went into my room, my computer was, for some reason, on, and PowerPoint was on. A sentence was written by someone, and the sentence said, "To invoke thy father that kills our naughty children, El Coco. It waits under the bed, El Coco." I was scared and confused. The only question I had was, what the hell is El Coco? But things didn't stop there. Whenever I closed PowerPoint, there was a strange file downloaded. It was called IC.exe. Whenever I opened the file, there were 6 images, and they were disturbing. There were edited photos of Daffy Duck, Bugs Bunny, Garfield, Tom and Jerry, and Odie, with black bleeding eyes and tentacles, with all of them saying the words, "It comes." I didn't get a wink of sleep that night. I haven't been getting much sleep for the past couple of weeks, as a matter of fact, which I'm guessing those of you who've spoken to me recently could have guessed. I keep seeing those pitch black eyes staring at me. I'm afraid everyone I see will turn and whisper those words to me, staring deep into my soul with that evil glare. Every time I go near a sink or go to grab a bite to eat, I'm afraid I'll see the blood coming out. Even my wife has seemed cold and distant lately. Then tonight, as I'm driving home from work, struggling to keep my eyes open so that I don't drift into the oncoming traffic, my cell phone rang and it was my wife. She was on her way to the hospital to have our baby, and for the first time in 2 weeks, I was actually happy. She was in the labor room, strapped to a monitor when I got there, watching for her contractions. She barely noticed when I walked in, but didn't seem startled when I sat down beside her and took her hand into mine. I tried talking to her, but she was unresponsive, and I was so tired I didn't even realize I had started to drift off to sleep until the nurses came in and started moving her to the delivery room about a half an hour later. I put on my scrubs and a hairnet and went in with her to hold her hand and coach her through like they'd trained us in Lamaze when she started cursing and screaming. I was prepared for that, as well as her tightening grip on my hand, but when I saw the movement in her tummy, my mind started to reel. The doctor said the baby was crowning and told her to push. I echoed his orders and she screamed at me with a voice I couldn't begin to describe. When I looked down at her, she was staring up at me with those same eyes I'd seen on the biker. The same eyes I thought I'd seen on Lewis weeks before. I tried to jerk my hand away, but she maintained her grip. Black, tar-like blood splashed the front of the doctor's scrubs, but he seemed to pay no heed. When I looked at her tummy again, black veins seemed to stand out beneath her skin, pulsating. She continued to stare at me, and she was no longer screaming, just grinning, those obsidian eyes boring into me. "To invoke thy father that kills our naughty children, it what waits under the bed, El Coco," she says. Then the doctor says, "It what waits under the bed, in a palace of tortured fire, served by legions forged from the tears of the sleepless dead." He stared down at the child, my child, lying silently, cradled in his blood-stained hands. He looked up and raised the baby, and it appeared to be covered in blood, exactly the same way the comics were. It did not cry out, but it was alive, and it moved when he held it up. When its eyes opened, they were as black as my wife's, as black as the doctor's. In unison, they all breathed his name, El Coco. I ripped my hand free of my wife's iron grip and stumbled out of the room, barreling into the nurses, passing into the corridor just outside. When I stood up and looked back into the room, I could see the blood, seeming to extend from the doctor and my newborn across the floor to where I stood. I turned and ran down the hall to the elevator and slammed my finger into the buttons. When I looked back, the blood had come into the hallway until it slithered over their feet and up their legs, at which point they abruptly stopped, turned and looked at me with those same obsidian eyes. I abandoned my effort to call the elevator and broke into a panicked run for the stairs. I ran down the 15 flights of stairs, all the way to the lobby, tore ass out into the parking lot, hopped into my car and started driving. I didn't know where the hell I was going. I just had to get the hell out of there. I don't know if I'm going crazy. It certainly seems like it. But I just can't be around anyone I know anymore. They all have those same eyes and those same dead stares. And even my child. Oh God, my baby. I still saw those eyes staring at me from the cars beside me. And by some strange coincidence, the same biker from the previous Friday night at the bar pulled up beside me, an hour away from the hospital, and followed me for nearly 2 miles. He'd turn and stare at me, grinning. I couldn't see his eyes through his sunglasses this time, but I knew it was the same guy. His tattoos seemed to move on their own free will. The flaming skull on his right bicep began bleeding from its eye sockets. As soon as I could, I slammed on my brakes, allowing him to fly past me. I swerved to my left and did a U-turn. I think I lost him. That was about an hour ago. I'm at a motel 3 hours out of town, the first place I found that has Wi-Fi, and I'm tired, and I'm shaking, and my hand itches where my wife's nails scratched me open. I honestly don't know what to do or who I can turn to. This story will sound insane, and I'll probably be institutionalized, and I'm not sure that would be the best thing for me. But I just can't bear to look into those eyes anymore. Every time I see someone new and they stare at me, I start to panic, because I know. I just know it's out there, looking for me, whatever it is. And even when I lay down and start to drift off to sleep, I hear those words, "It comes." I hope you enjoyed today's story. If you did, be sure to tell your friends. I'd like to thank the listeners and Patreon members, including Mad Joe, Dr. Joe Blob, PA Nightmares, Ivy Iverson, John Newby, Lana, Patrick, and Bobby Elliott. If you'd like to get the podcast commercial-free, sign up with Patreon, where you will also get copies of the new stories I'm working on and other fun stuff. You can find my Patreon account at www.spookyboo.club. That's all for tonight. I'll see you in your nightmares.